Less nervous.
You ready?
No!
I did. Okay, she's doing like jumping and breathing exercises now for the second episode. Because like, this is your first podcast, right?
Yeah.
Okay, she's doing so well. She's doing so well. Like literally such a natural speaker. But we are back to record the second one, the juicy one, which I know you guys really like. So we alluded to it a little bit in the first one with Allison, but we're going to talk more about how to stop being afraid of being rejected by men or just like in the romantic context. So I think listeners would be interested in hearing your background with that. I mean, you gave us the whole rundown yesterday at our place. Like, you don't need to go in that juicy detail, but like, yeah, we saw a picture. We saw like all, we got all the details, but like high level.
High level. So first of all, I will preface this all with the disclaimer. I'm not like super, super confident. I'm getting there just because I know now that you need to be like that. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. So I'm really channeling that and letting the fears go. But they do still come to me. And I know the more I practice, the better I'll be. And because it's working, we were talking about positive reinforcement in the last episode. Mm-hmm. It has kept working for me. So that's why it motivates me to keep doing it. And I'm getting better and better each time. So in the last year and a half of being single, I've had experiences with many guys, and I've learned something from each person. I really believe that people come into your life for a reason. Mm-hmm. And each one I've actually could pinpoint like a lesson I learned from that interaction. And I can tell, I really believe don't chase, attract, and that you have to be the energy you want to attract. And so not each one has gotten better and better, but the overarching trend of it is that each guy that I've kind of gotten closer with throughout the last year and a half have been more and more like along the lines of what I'm looking for ultimately. Mm. So that's what keeps motivating me to keep being like this and going after what I want and openly communicating, not being afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. And the fear of rejection, it really does hold you back from a lot of things because you're shutting yourself down.
Yeah.
Not someone else doing it for you. You didn't even create the opportunity for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to focus on the fear of rejection and how you're able to just go up and ask. So let's see, like you're in like a situation where you're at the club or you're at a music festival and like you see a cute guy. So how do you approach that?
Well, first of all, I'm usually on something, so I'm not 100% sober. We'll start with that. It helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And something I've said, I literally was telling Teresa this earlier today too. I made a TikTok about this. Channeling drunk Allison was a mindset that I set out back in 2019. Uh-huh. And that was the year prior to last year that I manifested the most things ever. Mm. I was drinking a lot, but really that energy that I would get when I'm drunk.
The liquid courage, right?
The liquid courage. And I feel lucky that I actually believe I'm a better version of myself when I'm drunk.
Oh, wow.
I know some people don't react well to alcohol. For example, they get really angry or really sad or emotional.
Yeah.
For me, I'm just bubbly, energetic, happy to be alive. And that confidence that I have when I'm drunk and how I'm a social butterfly, I learned to take those traits and practice mirroring them, like mimicking them when I'm sober too. Mm. It's obviously not the same, but when I'm, you know, most of the settings that I've had these experiences with the guys are usually under the influence of something. Uh-huh. So yeah, that helps significantly. I'm not condoning this, by the way. If you don't do it, don't do it, but helped. That's what worked for me. Because I can also fall back on that. If they do reject me, it's like, okay, well, she's really drunk anyway. Or
right, that's true. It's like, oh, that wasn't me.
That wasn't me. Exactly. Yeah. And it's more cheeky and playful.
It is.
You can just brush it off. But it just started working. The first time that I went up to a guy was 3 months after my breakup. I remember I was at a bar. And that was crazy, actually. I remember wanting it to happen. It was a last minute plan. My friend messaged me and was the last Saturday of the summer. And she was like, want to go out tonight? And I was like, ugh, like I just got back from New York. I should really rest. But I was like, you know what? I'll get full send. Let's go. And so I took some extra shots when we were praying because I was thinking I really want a man tonight. And we get there. No one really. But then at some point I noticed this group of guys walk in and there was one guy that I thought, oh, he's cute. And in my head, I was like, I'm going to go up to him. I remember being nervous because I hadn't really done that before. Mm. And I did go up to him. And then he thought I was cute too. And I was like, whoa, really? And then when I was telling people about this whole interaction after, a lot of my friends were like, why are you so surprised? And a lot of my guy friends are like, it's so easy for girls to do that.
What? What do they mean?
They mean like most of the time guys are open to that. Mm. And because not a lot of girls do it, but they don't, a lot of them don't want to seem predatory either. But if you're a cute girl just going up to them, they'll usually be down.
True.
And that's what I've noticed. I think me being so surprised by it at first, but then other people being like, that's not surprising at all. Mm-hmm. It kind of got me curious about, man, should I keep testing this? And so since then, I've become more confident in how I look too. Again, I would be shutting myself down thinking I'm not good looking, but a lot of people, it's all subjective. Like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Everyone has different taste. And I've learned too, the more that I own how I look, and if I think I'm hot and I walk around confident, you almost demand that same opinion, like perspective from people, because even if they don't think that, they're gonna be like so confused. They'll be like, why does she think she's so hot or like good looking? I joke about this a lot too, that someone like DJ Khaled, objectively not the most attractive person, but he has so much confidence.
And I've never thought of him as unattractive, actually. Because I'm always like, I really like his energy, like he's so confident.
Right. Yeah. See, you don't think about it that way, but by society standards,
right.
Like, is he the hottest guy alive? No.
No.
Am I the hottest girl alive? No. But if I walk around with that confidence, people are attracted to that. Mm. So that's what's been helping. It took baby steps of little experiences like that, where initially I was so shocked to then being like, oh, but it works.
Yeah.
Sheesh. Okay. I really like the liquid courage thing too. Cause like when you were saying that you want to channel the energy of when you were drunk and then bring that into like your sober instances or whatever. So last summer when I was in Toronto, I got really drunk this one time when I went out with a friend.
Where'd you go?
I think it was Midnight Arcade. Oh, okay. Yeah, Midnight Arcade. Okay. I went with a friend.
I don't think I've been.
Oh yeah. It's really fun. But I was so drunk that I was just going up to people and like literally putting my arm around them and being like, hey, like, I think you're cute. Like, what's your name?
Yes, Meg.
And stuff. And like, I ended up getting like 5 different dudes IG that night. And then I woke up the next morning. I was like deathly hungover. I was like, oh, like never doing that again. But I looked at my phone. I was like, just like random DMs from these guys. And I was like, what?
It works.
How did I even do this? You know, like obviously there's also like drunk goggles. Like obviously I thought they were cute last night, but I looked at it. I was like, I don't know about this. But the confidence is like insane, you know, the liquid courage. So I really like that you're able to like channel that into whatever you do. So question I guess is, you said you were focusing on like sort of the positive reinforcement. So what happens when you like get rejected? Like how do you not let that sabotage sort of like your self-esteem and stop you from doing that again?
The answer to that is you have to love yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough answer. Like that's a tough pill to swallow, because it takes a lot of inner work and healing to really get to the point of loving yourself and knowing yourself so well to not let the opinions of others sway you, because you have to learn to love every part of yourself, even the darkest sides. Mm. And my life, just all the things that have happened, like I said, the things that blew up, my career, like my breakups, friend breakups, those are all things that put me in really dark places, mm-hmm. where I was very alone. I definitely felt depressed for a long time, but those were the times that I really learn to lean on myself, and it built character. But looking back on it, I can be so grateful for it, but definitely going through it, it felt like it was never ending, like no light at the end of the tunnel, but I was just trusting that, you know, you gotta trust the process. Mm-hmm. So it took many, many years to get to this. My favorite quote I posted on my story before, someone said, change really does happen overnight, it just takes years to get to that night.
Ooh.
For me, yeah. I've said this, it was November 28th,
okay,
2023, when I got back from Vancouver. So Teresa, God bless her soul, I've been saying she's like been a gift just ever since she came into my life. I've just had so many blessings, mm-hmm. from what that TikTok blowing up, but then also that mindset it helped put me in. But that was the day where it really, I just flicked that switch where I was thinking, let me stop doubting myself. Mm-hmm. Like I am gonna make it. I am gonna have hundreds of thousands of followers one day. I love what I'm doing. And it's working. Obviously not at the scale that you would think successful people are at, but it's given me so many connections. Like I am confident in the person that I am. It's helping me become who I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I finally just allowed myself to just really love myself and admit that. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of new. It started in December mostly, but mm-hmm. it is finally the time where I started believing it, because I've been working all these years, like I said, since 2017 on the self-development work. I listened to podcasts, I read some self-help books, and just I did some therapy. And any tough experience I've been through, like my breakup, for example, I really committed to healing from it. And so that's what's helped me now, being like, I know that people can think what they want about me, but ultimately, if I don't think that about myself, then it's not true.
Damn, that was really good. I really got to internalize that. Because like when I was hearing your stories and stuff yesterday, I was thinking to myself, wow, I like really, really want to get to that point. I think objectively, I'm pretty confident in the realms of like career and like friendships and just like overall like my abilities and like what I'm able to achieve success wise. But for some reason in the romantic space, I'm like so avoidant, especially when it comes to like dating. Like if I were to see in the same situation, if I were to like be at a club or whatever and see a cute guy, I just be like, eh, just a cute guy. I'm just gonna do whatever, like do my own thing or whatever. But I think for girls, there's also sort of, I mean, dating stuff that opens like another can of worms, but there's also this advice where it's like, oh, like you're a woman, like step back and like let them come after you. So don't bring your masculine energy into this. You don't need to be the one asking them out, like just like stay there, and if they want you, they'll come to you, sort of thing. So I'm curious to hear, what are your thoughts on that, and why do you choose to not follow that advice and just like go after what you want?
Wow, that was a really interesting question. And so true. I really do believe now in letting a man take the lead. I did not understand masculine versus feminine energy before. This is all another new development, but I'm learning that yes, you have to let a man sit in his masculine energy, and I want a man who's channels that energy mostly, but knows how to tap into feminine energy.
Yeah.
And for me, I think I used to have too much masculine energy in my relationship, where in the sense of just taking care of myself and being independent and not trusting, but really leaning into feminine energy and being like, I want to be taken care of. And yeah, I've actually thought about this too. Like, how much pushing do I do? Because I firmly believe don't chase attract. That was on my vision board. It was on my phone background all of like the end of last year. And so I think about that too. Like, how much is chasing? But I believe that just the way society is too, for men to come up to a woman, a lot of the times we're with our girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they don't want to interrupt or also come across as creepy. Like they know they might just get rejected. I don't always go up to guys, by the way, either. Like, I just know that that's the chances of me getting what I want are higher if I'm the one dictating it. Because there are guys that come up to me that I don't think are that cute either. And it's nice. Like,
yeah,
I'll let them buy me a drink if they want to. And it's the feeling of if a guy that you actually think is cute coming up to you, like that's happened a couple times to me too. That's the ideal. But if you want to ultimately experience, like, how do I even phrase this? You might as well just go for it. You have nothing to lose. And if you're the one in the driver's seat of your life and you want something, the best chance of you getting it is you going after it. You can wait for them to come along too. But if you really want something, why are you stopping yourself from the opportunity of having it?
That is so true. That's so true. I think what really resonated when you were sharing on this podcast is like, the more you love yourself, the more that you're sort of immune to that stuff. Because when you do get rejected, like, you don't ever take it personally, right?
That's like, all it is. And yeah, like you said, life is a mirror. And the outward stuff that's happening to you is just life showing you your triggers, your traumas, like what you need to work on. So you're projecting your fears, and like, you need to address them before you can actually manifest the things that you actually want in your life. Like, you realize that they're blockers. But yeah, I actually forgot to say this about the masculine energy. I think it's also, even though we want a guy to come up to us and do everything, I think it is on the woman to create the opportunity too, and to show interest and to reciprocate. Like, let them lead, but also if you are interested back, don't just play hard to get. I don't believe in playing games at all. Yeah, just be yourself. And how are you going to get what you want if you don't openly communicate that with someone?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I think, a lot of my girlfriends too, they're like, oh, but I want a man who, like, comes to me. Like, I don't want to have to fight for their attention. I think that's extreme, though. I think we can still show interest
without fighting for their attention. Exactly. Yeah. Like, just leave the door open, sort of thing, and just, like, sort of mirror their energy, right?
Yeah, so me going up to a guy at a club or a bar, like, joke about this. Like, so when I'm... Yeah. I'll ask them, are you single? And I'm not asking them out or anything. I'm just trying to get to know them and talk to them.
Yeah.
So it's me opening a conversation and then let them lead.
Right, exactly. And if they just say no, or if they're like, oh, like I am, but I'm not interested, then it's like, whatever, you just like move on to the next one, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. Okay, something we were talking about yesterday that I think was really like a nice mindset switch also is like, you're not going to be everyone's type, right? So when you're going out there, especially in the dating world, I think it's such a vulnerable state to be, because it's like romantic validation is just like, I don't know, it's just like all of you. It's like, oh my gosh, that's why I find it so scary. I think it's like, oh, if a guy doesn't like me back, like what is it about me? Kind of hits up like my insecurities, like am I not pretty enough, am I not blah blah blah. But then I remember you saying like, you're not gonna be everyone's type, and that's okay. Like there's different sort of types of beauty, and you're gonna find the one who finds you the most beautiful and attractive. So
yeah, I think for you, like I'm curious, like how many experiences, like relationships have you had, or friends with benefits, or experiences with guys that you did feel validated, like you did trust that they found you attractive, and like maybe that's where some of your doubt comes in.
Yeah, it could be. Like I've been in a few relationships, three relationships. One of them was long term, like 3 years long, and I had one FWB. I like want to like erase that from my memory because it was like low-key traumatizing. And then I just like was never able to do anything casual, I think, because I am like kind of sensitive to that stuff, and I just like don't have a desire to like, you know, get with someone unless I saw them as like, okay, this person could be a like lifelong partner. I know we approach that sort of differently, so I'd love to hear more about like your perspective on that later too,
if you want to share now. Well, that's what I'm saying, what helped me have the confidence that it doesn't matter how I look and to not get offended if someone's not interested in me. I don't think this is like everyone's gonna take this advice, but for me it was learning from experience. Like I had to keep putting myself out there.
Yeah.
And like through personal experience of attracting guys that I thought were cute, like just reinforcing that.
True.
Like you're scared that they're not gonna think that you're attractive back, but then you're holding yourself back from that experience that would help you like build the momentum to keep doing that. Like you're holding yourself back. So I think that fear is the reason why. Like maybe if you, I'm not saying go like be a hoe, but maybe.
I don't know. It's like scary, but I do think about like positive reinforcement. Like there's been a lot of times where I've been asked out by different people throughout my life. Some of them I found cute where I was like super flattered, but there was other reasons I wouldn't want to date them. So I still said no. And others it's just like, okay, like maybe not. And I don't know. There's just like, there are many instances where I can trace like, okay, like I can be desirable to people, but there's also like maybe one or two instances where I got rejected and I felt like just a huge blow to my self-esteem sort of thing. And I think that sort of like stuck with me sort of thing, even though like numbers wise, it doesn't really make sense. Like, okay, like let's say I've only been rejected once or twice, but then I've been asked out like countless times sort of thing. Right. So I'm like, okay, why do I still think that I'm like unworthy of love or that I'm not cute enough for that guy that I'm interested in sort of thing. So
it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. It's like subconscious.
Yeah. I mean, you just said it yourself. That comes down to, you know, that you need to get to the point with yourself that you believe you're beautiful, that you love yourself more, because the fact that two rejections are making you question yourself. But I have friends who are going through things like this too.
Mm.
Like friendship breakups, for example, as well, where they're like so hurt by it because they're thinking, they're really sad that this person thinks that they're a bad friend.
Oh.
Right? But that comes down to like, then doesn't that mean you inherently believe that yourself? Like you're letting it, you're internalizing it. But if you knew that you were a good friend, then
it wouldn't bother.
Because you're like, well, I did everything I could.
Okay.
I think that's the same approach I take to dating now or with guys. Like, well, I look the way I do. I'm doing everything I can.
Right. And if you don't want me, then like, someone else.
I'm not going to change myself.
Oh yeah. You're so right. Like you wouldn't want to change
yourself to like mold yourself into someone that you think they would accept, because then that's not authentic to yourself, right? And you're not going to be happy.
So that's what you need to do more, is just embrace your authentic self, because if you're getting rejected by guys, it's not just because of how you look. Like it could, it's again, personal. Like we take things so personally when really we're all out here just living life, trying to do the best we can. I really think now the purpose of life is just to experience and do what we want. And every individual person thinks differently and wants different things. And so someone rejecting you or not wanting something, it could be just a timing thing in their life. They're going through something. They're not ready. It's nothing to do with you. But we all take things so personally.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to do the inner work. And that's what's helped me manifest more things in my life and go about life chasing my dreams now, because I've healed a lot of the internal blockers. Mm. They still come up and I'm aware of them. Mm-hmm. But that's why I'm continuing to surround myself with people that help me believe in myself and be the version of me that I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm challenging myself through new experiences. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm leaving for a solo trip in 2 days. I'm going to Southeast Asia, booked a one-way flight. I'm scared, but I'm doing that to challenge that fear. Mm. And so for you, this fear of rejection, you got to put yourself in more situations to face that. It'll help you build the confidence so that someone thinking something about you or rejecting you won't shake up your life and make you question who you are and think you need to change something. Because at the end of the day, embracing your authentic self is learning that you don't have to be any different. You are enough. You've always been enough. And we need to stop letting the world dictate that.
Okay. I really love that so much. I'm going to like really have to internalize that advice. I was reflecting on like how I said earlier in the podcast, I'm confident in a lot of other areas of my life. Mine is romantic. And I always like say to myself, why can't I bring the confidence I have in making friends to the way that I approach my romantic relationships?
That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, because with friendships, I'm just like, I'm just fully myself. Like, I don't change who I am around people at all. I'm like, whoever I am is the way that people see me when they first get to know me, sort of thing. And whoever wants to be my friend can be my friend. I'm also very selective. So like, if I don't like someone, I don't want to be friends with someone, I'm just straight up not going to talk. Like, that's just how it is, right? And because I'm able to be that way in the friendship context, I think I'm able to attract like people that align the most with me and who I feel truly, truly like do connect with me and are like, you know, meant for me in my life. And it's like an automatic filter when I'm authentic that people aren't meant for me are just not going to be that close to me, right? So can I just take that sort of mindset into the dating world is like what I'm going to try to do.
Yes. That you saying that, you phrased that so eloquently. That's actually kind of what I did. I feel the same way about friendships in my life now. Mm-hmm. I don't force friendships. And when I stopped doing that, so many people came to me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it worked for friendships. So I'm channeling that into relationships now too. And then with career as well, I realized I always had imposter syndrome. But leaving the corporate world behind and being like, just reflecting on that and taking the positives from it and really believing in the skills that I have. And what made me succeed in the corporate world is going to make me succeed outside of it too. Like, I'm fully employable. I'm a CPA. Like, why do I keep doubting myself? Mm. And I think that's the same thing you're saying with boys. Like, why do you doubt yourself with that? But yet with friends, you don't. I think it really is just being delusional, believing in ourselves, and just ignoring the noise. People will always say things, and it is vulnerable. Putting yourself out there, whether it be going up to a guy, putting yourself out there online. Like, we're doing it right now.
Yeah.
People are going to listen to this and think we're idiots. Who cares? Or people are going to think this is really helpful. Mm-hmm. And that's why I had to wait until this time in my life where I was fully ready to embrace myself and show up online. But in these 8 months of posting, it's given me so much more confidence.
Mm.
And I watch my own videos back a lot. And that's what helps me like love myself more. Just remembering who am I doing this for? I'm doing it for me. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, in your life with all these experiences you're having with people too, it's the same idea. Like, what's meant for you will never miss you. So if someone is rejecting you or doesn't want to be with you, they've gotten to know you and they leave you and they're hurting you, whatever, you got to just pick yourself up and be like, okay, that's thank God that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's creating space for what's actually meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that way with friends, you know, we're so good at making friends now that when we lose friends, it's not that big of a deal.
It really isn't. Yeah.
It's the same thing with guys.
Okay, I really love that. This feels like a really healing therapy session for me, so thank you. I really hope it resonates to our listeners too.
I also do.
Yeah, and you also mentioned that you're a very confrontational person and you're able to sort of verbalize like what you feel and stuff and not be scared to have those difficult conversations. Does this apply to friendships and romantically? And can you talk a little bit more about that?
100%. It's something I've been really working on and I really stand for. I've always said honesty is the best policy. I really swear by just being 100% honest with people. I think it's so shady and you're just doing someone a disservice if you really feel like you're protecting them by not telling them the truth.
Mm.
Because everyone, again, we're all out here trying to live our best lives. Everyone deserves to have all the information that they can to make a decision for themselves. And like, who are you to withhold information or lie? You're actually hurting them more. And a lot of people think they're protecting the people that they love by not hurting them with the truth.
Mm.
But the truth will come out one way or another. And so that's why I've practiced it a lot, though, like owning my truth. And I've noticed it never steers away the right people.
Mm.
And now I approach a lot of my, or all of my relationships now, like with friends, with boys. And it's only got, for boys actually, it's only really been like the most recent guy that I was talking to, this was the most transparent and honest I've communicated with anybody. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being so good. Like, we really got to the root of everything, like how we both feel about each other, how we both feel about our lives and what we're looking for. And I think that's the healthiest approach, because you're not wasting time and you're not fucking with someone's feelings.
Yeah.
And it just reduces that risk and it saves the connection. Like, we have a good connection that we've built, and who knows what's going to happen in the future. Clearly it's not the right time, or maybe it's just we're not the right people for each other, but to ruin it because of you want to like keep it going and see what happens when, if you're not on the same page, is just going to lead to someone being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with friendships. I think that the right people will, people like, love is, if someone loves you, they want you to be the best version of yourself. They want to help you. And that's why you just, like, they will appreciate the truth. They will support you in your truth.
I really like that. Thank you so much, Allison. You're welcome. I got a lot to journal about later.
That's another thing. I have been journaling for many, many years.
Ooh.
That helps. Talking to myself. That's also what my videos are. I talk to myself a lot.
Yeah.
But in journaling, you got to sit with those feelings. It's not easy to do. When I was in my last relationship, that was 3 years long, it was really tough. Like, a lot of parts of myself, the bad sides were brought up, and I did things to him that I knew were wrong, but I knew where I messed up, and I really wanted to commit to growing from that. And that's why I took time to being single and learning to love those parts of myself so that I can actually heal and not hurt more people in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that's what my breakups in the past and my friendship breakups taught me too, is working on myself so that I don't do it to other people again. And that's ultimately what everyone out here has to do. So if people have trauma that they need to work through, let them be, because you can't fix them.
Don't try to fix other people.
I was guilty of that, trying to fix other people. But really, if you're trying to do that for someone else, it's because you want to avoid fixing yourself.
Oh, shit.
They say really? That. Yeah. So doing the work is not easy, but journaling is good. Also, I wanted to say, I'm 2 years older than you.
Right.
So that's another, like, 2 years ago, I wasn't like this at all. A lot of this is all new. Like, 2 years ago, I was still in my relationship, and I was so scared to lose him, and I was not this version of me. Like, I didn't think like this. I was so scared and clingy and just not confident and judged others too. And
wow.
Tried to fix him and pushed him away. Like, I've learned how to communicate better. At the time, I thought I was good at communicating because I'm so emotional.
And you're verbal about things.
But really, I was too scared to also openly communicate how I'm truly feeling with him. And so I knew that got in the way of our relationship too.
Right.
So that's why I intentionally tried now to work on my communication of being really honest and how I really feel. And I've practiced it a lot through conversations with my friends. When I notice we're growing apart, it's not that I'm going to cut them off as friends, but I have that conversation where you're doing something that's triggering me, or I don't support what you're doing, but I know you have to learn in your own way. You got to do what you got to do. The only way I've ever learned is doing things my way, and I've ignored my friends' advice too, but knowing that they're there at the end of the day, that's what matters. And so, yeah, I think in the last, like I said, year and a half practicing with friends, but also each time with guys too, the reason now I'm so communicative and open is because, like, 3 guys ago, for example, like my last friends of benefits, like, it ended in a questionable way because we didn't really communicate. I thought we were on the same page, but at the end we weren't. So I've just learned the value of communication. You can never lose something that's meant for you if you really just said it all. You know?
Yeah.
You're so right. You're so right. Thanks for all that.
No problem.
This is really, really good advice. I know we're coming up on time. So is there anything else that you wanted to share before we close off this episode?
Is there anything?
Yeah.
Like, maybe what would you, because you said 2 years ago you were so different, right? And you credit the journaling, like putting yourself out there, creating content. Obviously, you went through like the breakup and everything. Maybe if you could talk to yourself from 2 years ago, like, what would you say to her?
I think trust the process. Good things take time, and that you are on the right track. All of this is happening for a reason, especially the tough seasons. That's where your character is built, through the struggle. So many of us want to skip the struggle and get to the good parts. I was actually talking with a new friend today, and we were literally talking about this exact topic, that people don't really see the struggle.
True.
That's what also inspired my account, is I wanted to document this journey, because when I left my job 8 months ago, I was terrified. It was just a whole shock to my system, but I needed to go through all that to be this version of me. And it's like, if you skip to the end, you wouldn't even be the version of you that could sustain that's success.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Allison, for coming on and sharing all this stuff. I personally learned so much, and I'm really grateful that I met you because I feel so inspired to take all this stuff into 2024 and really make the best of this year. I'm really grateful that we got to meet this year, and I'm going to take all your advice and try to make my 2024 a lot more, even more authentic, even more shameless, and sort of go after the things I want and really focus on sort of that inner healing and mostly self-love, I think. Especially in the romantic context and fear of rejection, that is like the biggest area that I'm trying to work on. So I'm really excited to take all your advice and grow this year. So thank you again for coming on.
I love that for you. Please keep me posted. I would love to hear about it. And something I wanted to say too is with my account, I'm just growing it organically right now. Especially when I travel, I'm just going to be posting what I want. But I know at the back of my mind, I have these big dreams. And I believe like if it keeps calling you, it's because like the whole idea of like being called to do something.
Yeah.
I know I want to have a podcast one day, a book one day, and also I want to offer coaching one day because this really fulfills me, helping someone through conversation and sharing my experiences and helping inspire them to keep working on themselves and live their dream lives too.
Yeah.
So it just really means a lot to me that you feel this way. And also thank you so much again for the opportunity of being on your podcast.
Of course,
I have to be on one before I make one. So this is a good glimpse of what it's going to be like for me. And I will look back on this when I'm ready to start my podcast too.
Yes.
And I think I did better this episode than the first one.
You're amazing in both of them. But this one was just amazing. Just amazing. I'm so excited to have like your podcast and just keep following your journey. So yeah, make sure to check out her TikTok and her Instagram in the show notes. And I will chat with you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.